Let's start with a quote from Ernest Holmes. Only as much life enters into us as we can conceive of life in the larger sense, only when there is complete abandonment to it. Are you ready to abandon the limitation, false sense of separation, a willingness to come deeply into your own truth, which is divine? Well, this month is about you are rooted in the divine, and today is about spring ahead and dive into the divine. Congratulations, all of you who have sprung ahead today an hour. Isn't it great? And just think of all the light you're going to have tonight. When, as soon as the snow melts, we can go home and plant some things. Maybe not today. We do well by beginning every project and going into every adventure by first jumping off the high dive of ego. Anyone familiar with that? Into the deep pool of spirit, like the wonderful singer who would be very quiet before he would sing. And one day was asked, what is it that you do before you acknowledge your accompanist that it's time to begin? Why do you close your eyes? What's happening? He says, oh, I simply say, more of thee, less of me. Now we're required as an instrument through which spirit may express, whether it is singing, or whether it is loving, whether it is creating, whatever we're doing as individualized expressions of the one divine life, we're expressing that magnificent spirit in a very unique and a beautiful way. And we are needed, the instrumentality of our persona, the physical, emotional, mental, needs to be integrated in order for spirit to shine through. That's why we must go deeply, deeply into spirit. This is why we do our individual spiritual work. And I'm the biggest duck in the pond when it comes to that, because I love my individual spiritual work. And when we encourage each other to do that, we find ourselves in a beloved community where people are trusting each other, where people are remembering who they truly are, looking at one another and remembering that we're all expressions of the living God. What a marvelous awareness. So the me, more of thee, less of me, the me is an essential instrument through which the divine may show up and show off. Remember what Charles Fillmore said, the founder of Unity, in his mid-90s? He would awaken each morning. If you know it, please say it with me. I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm as I spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that can only be done by me. You specially said that this morning, didn't you? It's what time? Look how bright and shiny you are. See, we adapt, we adjust. That's why our human race continues to survive, because we are able to be flexible and to flow with the changes. And when we do, we find the most surprising and amazing things that spirit has in mind for us. It really is time to awaken to something greater, perhaps, than we have yet known. Even though we've known some great things, it's spirit in us that is allowing us, inviting us, encouraging us, inspiring us, whispering to us to co-create. What are we going to create today? To co-create with spirit. So there's no more going it alone. No more pretending that we can do anything of our human selves all by ourselves. It's diving deeply into the divine that allows us to move ahead and do the most amazing things. Like, you know, why would we ride on a bicycle, except for the exercise and the joy of being out in the fresh air, but why wouldn't we consider that there are other modes of transportation? You know, like, what if we flew on the Concorde instead? I know we wouldn't have the same exercise. We would get there faster, but there are other ways. It's like a person who is on a high dive, perhaps. A person who's ready to jump into a beautiful lake. Anyone ever tell you to do that? No. They haven't told me that in a while. You know what it feels like to jump into water that is so inviting, and yet you're sort of holding back a little bit? You're not really sure, but the temperature. I'm not suggesting that we join the polar bear club. Do you know that people actually do that? Oh, have you done that? Jeff, you're insane. Which is one of the reasons I love you did it twice. I'll have to ask you about that sometime. But other than that, imagine jumping into the most beautiful, beautiful lake of warm water with just enough of a ripple in it that you feel bathed in beauty and in love and in joy. There's no point in holding back from the things that we have been designed to do. That does not mean that our lives are already set up that we're supposed to do certain things in a certain way. We're not into predestination here. But we do know that the will of God is for life and for greater life. And that as we enter into our creative activity, as we're using spiritual mind treatment, as we're looking to change the inner consciousness in order then to allow the conditions in the world to line up with our consciousness, then we find that we truly are following what seemed to be the mystery, the unknown, and we are supported every step of the way. We think, well, but in that lake there may be rocks, there could be hazards. We would be wise to check it out first before we jump in. With spirit, we don't need to check anything out. It's already whole and complete and perfect. It's already welcoming us to let go of those small-minded ideas, that limitation that we either grew up with or that were imposed upon us somehow simply by living in this world. Simply by being a part of this divine human race and understanding that we're all connected on the subjective level and that we have available to us all the thinking and all the beliefs and all the experiences of humankind forever. It's all right there. And it would love to connect with us. And some of what's in the human subjective mind of the entire race is wonderful. The great poets, the great musicians, all have left their wonderful gifts there, and we can touch them, experience them. But there's also some of what we sometimes call here the nincompoopery. The nincompoopery abides there as well. And it says you can't do that because you're only this or you're only that, or you haven't had enough of this or you had too much of that. And so it's time for us to, as Emerson suggested, to unlearn the wisdom of the world, because it's not particularly wise. But the wisdom within our own hearts, where we're following the compass of our heart in that beautiful song, that's where we need to pay attention, because it will never, ever let us down when we're listening deeply. With the eye of love, we want to see the truth. With the ear of love, we want to hear what really is for the highest and good for ourselves and for all others. So knowing that the will of God is for life and life abundant for each of us and for all of us, when we have something we're ready to bring into our world, to co-create and bring into our personal lives, into our communities, our families, the world itself, all we need to do is line up our desire with the desire, the one desire of God, which is for life and more life. If it's for greater life, if it is not constrictive, but it is expansive, it is for the highest good for you and for all, then it is appropriate to use our beautiful spiritual tools, changing our thinking changing our consciousness and focusing on a new divine idea that's bigger than the old one, that's truer than the old one, that's more real than the old one. We want to let go of what no longer serves us. Doesn't that just make sense? Let go of that which isn't serving us any longer and dive into a greater idea. Because we've identified with the smallness in some ways in our lives, all of us to some degree, for such a long time that we believe it, and it's time to believe something truer. It's time to let, as Meister Eckhart said, it's time to let God be God in us. No more playing small. It was Buckminster Fuller who said, we're like infants crawling around on the floor of the universe. Let's just start standing up. Let's realize that we go through our stages, and we need to go through our stages, and we bless them. Let's not be mad at any of the phases that we've gone through. Let's realize that that was necessary. You know, when you want to skip or run or jump, are you mad that you once could only crawl? No. That was part of the process. That was part of our physical maturation, our understanding that we could do more than we realized we could do before. I remember when I was leaving grammar school and moving into middle school, they call it now, I guess. It used to be junior high. I don't know what it is here. I don't have children going to these schools, but they're wonderful. You've got the best schools in the country. I'm proud to be a Pennsylvanian. Anyway, I digress as usual. I have two older brothers, and when I was leaving grammar school, leaving sixth grade, and I always was a good student. I was, believe it or not, I always got high grades in comportment too. Really. I asked my brothers, is it going to be really hard when I get to seventh grade? And they said, well, what was it like for you going from fifth grade to sixth grade? Oh, it was great. It was easy. Oh, I get it. We have the same creative intelligence within us, the same great love, the same wisdom that we've always had. Now it's time to embrace it, to apply it, to believe in it, and to use it. I want to be enthusiastic, even when it's sometimes a quiet enthusiasm. Because enthusiasm, you know, entheos, in God. When we are feeling that divine presence and really diving deeply into it, it's easy to become enthusiastic about what we're choosing to bring into our lives and into the world. I want to abandon myself completely into the heart and the mind of God. And I recently came across something that was meaningful to me. Instead of pushing to make things happen, anybody here ever push? Ego does that. Ego loves to push. Even you see people on the freeway trying to encourage cars in front of them to go faster or to move over, right? Isn't that a form of pushing? Sometimes they get a little too close, and that's not a good idea. Here's an acronym that I like. Push, no, not push, no push. Pray until something happens. Like that? Pray until something happens. Well, we say, well, Ernest Holmes, didn't he say that it takes only one prayer, one spiritual mind treatment, only one? Yes, the one that works. And it doesn't mean that any prayer is wasted, because what we're doing is, it's like putting that little mustard seed in the ground. And now that they're gone, I can tell you how this really works. That we put it in an environment that is conducive to growth. We put it in good soil. We give it good water. We tend to it. We keep the weeds away. Just as we do as we're planting seeds in the creative soil of mind. And so we pray And each time we do, we are conditioning the soil of our own minds. And then ultimately there is a breakthrough. Ultimately, each prayer, though, none of it is wasted ever. It just keeps going down into this beautiful system. And so pray until something happens. And it begins by removing our attention from some undesirable condition and focusing only on God. As Emmett Fox, that our Jonathan is loving to read now, said so clearly in his Golden Key. How many of you know about his Golden Key? Forget about the problem and think about God. Could it be that simple? That doesn't mean that we pretend things aren't happening. It does mean that we acknowledge that all the things that happen out here are in process, changing, changeable. That's their nature. Whereas as we dive deeply into the divine, that is what never changes. That's what we can count on completely with all our hearts. That divine, changeless, eternal reality of love and of wisdom and of creative, intelligent activity. Because that's what the presence of God is, and it's what it is within us. Emma Curtis Hopkins, which we're studying in our From Whence We Came class right now, she says, touch not the earth, touch me. This is spirit speaking within us. Touch not the earth. Don't get so involved in the conditions out there. Because the more attention, negative energy we give to it, the more that grows. Is that what we want in our garden of life? I think not. I know what we desire because we're born with it. There is an innate desire within all of us for a loving, joyous, wonderful, intelligent, creative life of freedom. Freedom, freedom. We can be free of those past limitations. And one of the things that Emma asks us to do is to stop judging and to stop accusing. That's an old-fashioned word for criticizing in our minds, judging. Everyone, including we ourselves, each one of us, is on our perfect spiritual path. Not always a smooth road. Sometimes a little rocky, sometimes uncomfortable, and sometimes we're not even pleasant as we're walking along that road. And sometimes we bump into each other. Let's stop judging. And as we're moving into that beautiful spiritual practice, let's also stop judging ourselves. If only I hadn't. I knew better than that. There aren't any mistakes in the mind of God, are there? So let's align ourselves, let's lift ourselves into that precious presence where we know that everything is working together for the great good. It might not look like that, but touch not the earth, touch me. Touch that divine presence within. And the Hindu will tell you, so dwell on the highest thoughts. This is the life of the awakened. You awakened this morning. We awaken every day. I desire, like Paul, to die daily. I wish to die daily to any limited self I may have believed in that may still be operating in my consciousness and therefore in my life. And I want to awaken. We're always awakening. And what is our wonderful vision for Centers for Spiritual Living? Our vision is awakening humanity to its spiritual magnificence. Don't you think it's time we took the veil off, that we lifted the cover from the light within us? Whoa! It's brilliant. It's shining. It's who we are. And if we forget it, we're all here to remind each other. We're all here to walk with each other when the road is a little bit bumpy. We're here to say, I know, I've been there. Let's not be there anymore. Walk with me in a new way. We take some byways. They can be interesting and fun. Then we come back to the road. With man, this is impossible, said the master teacher Jesus. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. One of our ministers, Dore Patlian, is in Sarasota. And he was at our Centers for Spiritual Living convention and sharing some important workshops with us. But he also shared with us a story he wrote, a very true story, called Hildegard's Miracle. He is Hildegard's Miracle. Hildegard was his mother. And he was born in 1945 to parents who, he said that he was the nation's oldest baby boomer since he was born just 3 days after the formal end of World War II. So his father and mother were very excited. They were a little bit older, but they were very excited about having a child. They wanted so much to have a child. And they didn't realize that it was going to be a very difficult 36-hour challenging birth. And when he finally made his debut, that the cord was wrapped tightly around his neck and that forceps were used, and there was a lot of complications that took place. He suffered a major birth trauma, severe palsy, vision problems, possible brain damage from oxygen deprivation. And after a few days, he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. His entire right side motor function was compromised. The doctors said that with cranial nerve damage and all, that he probably would be fortunate to, if there was some way to keep him out of an institution, but that might have to happen for him. So, of course, his mother never expressed what she must have felt at the time. He said that the shock and the dismay when she first saw her violently shaking and nearly blind little son. But she related the story of his birth to her years later, to him years later. He was her golden child, which is why they named him Dore, his golden child. And Hildegard was a very strong lady, he said, and was nobody's victim. And so she immediately, of course, began consulting all the greatest medical minds, and they went to the Mayo Clinic and all the places they could travel, and they said there was just no cure for cerebral palsy. And so they understood all too well that when eyes can't move or focus, then atrophy and blindness results, etc. So they were told to reconcile themselves with a severely disabled child. And so Dore said to us, I say a prayer of gratitude each day that she did not take the expert advice of the doctors. And he was perfectly normal in every other way. His brain was very sharp. And there was no damage at all. He was a very bright child trapped in a poorly functioning body. And he couldn't move normally, but at least his left side moved fairly well. He could think, he could laugh, and in an amazingly short time, he could talk. Oh my, could I talk, he said. My mother said that I learned to talk so well and so early that the neighbors would come over to hear me carry on conversations at age 18 months, and it seems that when one faculty is damaged, the law of compensation takes over and enhances others. My wife, Susan, maintains that I have not been quiet since, but she's given to hyperbole. Walking was another matter. I could only manage to crawl in a strange crab-like motion, but made little progress toward that first important step. Just imagine, just imagine a cross-eyed cute little boy crawling sideways and talking his head off. I was the curiosity of Cedar Avenue, but the neighbors loved and doted on me. Many things for which to be grateful. The first was that I was born in Los Angeles, where all things were strange and new. And his mother was thinking outside the box. So it doesn't matter that the medical community had given up on him. She never did. In Science of Mind, we know that what you cannot imagine will never be created in your life. She could imagine something different. So the turning point in his young life came when Hildegard was invited to attend a lecture by a nationally known spiritual leader, Dr. Ernest Holmes. In the late 40s, he became very well known around the country, and you know, he was captains of industry and movie stars, et cetera, and thousands of ordinary people came to hear him in Los Angeles. He gave public lectures at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles, and Hildegard was a woman always open to new ideas. So she would leave Dad to babysit, and she went hoping to learn something to help her little boy. And he says, Mother's visit to the Wiltern literally saved my life. She sat transfixed as Dr. Holmes explained that there's a power for good in the universe and that she could use it. And for the first time in her life, she heard that she could create something of her life experience using the law of God as a co-creator. So after the lecture, she spoke to Dr. Holmes, and he said yes, the little boy could be healed, but that she first needed to learn to see him in perfection. Keep in mind that with little children, that their parents' consciousness really has a lot to do with how well they do. Later on, we're responsible. But at that time, we know that she was able to see, she learned to see Dore as a whole, complete, beautiful little child. And she continued to attend the classes. Dr. Holmes emphasized that this wasn't magic, but proper use of the law, and that he was just the conduit. So she maintained this tenacious mental picture working in Dore's behalf. And she learned to use affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment. She replaced all of her fears and her belief in any medical condition with the absolute knowing that perfection, from perfection, can come only perfection. So I'm not going to read this whole story, but I'll leave it for you if you want to. By the age of 3, he began to take cautious steps, and soon he could walk. Not gracefully, but walk. The shaking began to abate. The eyes were not a thing of beauty, but at least I could see out of one eye at a time. I cannot describe to you the wonderful feeling that came over me around the age of 5, when I knew that while it wasn't always pretty, I could function as a normal person. I was so grateful to be able to see. The medical profession was astounded. At first, they refused to believe the results. The chief of neurology at a major university teaching hospital said, "This just doesn't happen. I guess prayer does work." And what he did not know or understand at that time, that Mother was using the law, not begging a faraway deity for favors. She was believing a new truth for me far in advance of seeing it. She was knowing I was perfect and whole, without yet any evidence to support that. Science of Mind is not magic. It's simply the owner's manual for using God's spiritual law to create our life experience in a beautiful way. So today, Dore looks wonderful. He's bright. His body works beautifully. I was just with him 2 weeks ago. He says, "There are no words sufficient to express my gratitude to my parents for being the conduit of my healing. Today, I'm a reasonably normal minister of new thought," whatever that is, "teaching science of mind all over the planet by means of his special ministries. I walk without the fluid grace of an athlete, but normally. In my eyes, thanks to a wonderful new surgical technique invented in 1952, were greatly improved. Now my vision is normal. About 8 years ago, I was in the presence of a man of great faith and power and received another healing to straighten his eyes to cosmetic surgery. If you did not know about this man's history, you wouldn't know it. There is no evidence that shows that that little golden boy ever had to move through the things that he did. Miracles happen when we suspend our belief, and we know that there are no miracles in the mind of God. We call them ordinaries because it is a natural outpicturing of a new mental concept. So I just wanted to share that with you today. He says, I'm Hildegard's miracle. May God continue to bless both of my parents in whatever experience they're having now. They would not accept conventional wisdom, but relied instead on the light and the law of God. And that is a beautiful story of truth that inspires me, can motivate us all not to accept the verdicts, but to know that God is bigger than that, that we dive deeply into the spiritual life and invite it to come through us and create something new and beautiful. It takes daily practice. It's worth it. We've been practicing something else, perhaps, for years. It's time to move into something beautiful and new. Touch not the earth. Touch me. Touch the I Am, the divine, the presence, the Christ consciousness within. Will you say with me, I move with grace into each new experience. I wholeheartedly embrace the divine life that is forever embracing me. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.